Well, happy Sabbath, dear ones, and welcome to our main church service on this beautiful Sabbath day of the 23rd of January, 2016. Welcome to those on the phone and those listening to the recording and those tuning in to WLMR Radio. Appreciate you choosing to fellowship with us on this memorial of God's creationary power, His chosen holy day of the Sabbath. It's good to be in fellowship with you all, dear ones, and I think in the near future, we'll look back at the times that we've been able to gather together and to fellowship and be very appreciative that we had those opportunities, because soon we're going to be isolated one from another and we will not have the freedom to meet together unmolested like we do now. So praise God for joining with us at this time, and let us move forward in our service. Our opening song is entitled Safely Through Another Week. And you can find this hymn on our website, the lyrics, at lightministries.com/ID1953.htm. Safely through another week, God has brought us on our way. Let us now a blessing seek on thy approaching Sabbath day. Day of all the week the best, emblem of eternal rest. Day of all the week the best, emblem of eternal rest. Mercies multiplied each hour through the week our prayers demand. Guarded by almighty power, fed and guided by His hand. Though ungrateful we have been, only made returns of sin. Though ungrateful we have been, only made returns of sin. While we pray for pardoning grace, through the dear Redeemer's name, show thy reconciled face. Shine away our sin and shame. From our worldly care set free, may we rest this night with thee. From our worldly care set free, may we rest this night with thee. When the morn shall bid us rise, may we feel thy presence near. May thy glory meet our eyes when we in thy house appear. There afford us, Lord, a taste of the everlasting feast. There afford us, Lord, a taste of the everlasting feast. May thy gospel's joyful sound conquer sinners, comfort saints. May the fruits of grace abound, bring relief for all complaints. Thus may all our Sabbaths prove, till we join the church above. Thus may all our Sabbaths prove, till we join the church above. And what a day that will be, dear ones, to join with the church of the firstborn in the earth made new. It's all possible through Jesus Christ, which strengthens us. And you know, meeting here in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, we are indeed connected with the Church of the Firstborn above. I ask that you please bow your heads and your knees for opening prayer. Our dear beloved Father in heaven, we thank you so very much for your divine protection in bringing us safely through another week to be able to gather together and to worship thy holy name on this Sabbath day. Thank you so much that we're a Sabbath closer to heaven. And I pray, dear Father, that your presence will continue to be with us. And please allow the joy and the holy atmosphere that surrounds you and your throne to come down and surround each one of us and fill our hearts with the light of truth. Dear Savior, we thank you for being here and pray that you will continue to dwell with us, continue to dispel the darkness in our hearts through the bright beams of your righteousness and truth. We invite you in and thank you for being willing to commune with us at this time and help us to learn wonderful lessons of truth from the great master teacher. And dear Spirit, we pray that your presence will continue to dwell with us. Please increase our ability to understand and comprehend spiritual truth. Open and direct our minds. Take away all custom and tradition, preconceived ideas and opinions, our errors. Remove them all away so that just the light as it shines from the face of our Savior can be seen and embraced and become part of us, so that we will no longer walk in darkness, but instead will be able to walk in the light of our Savior. And thank you so much for doing so. And thank you for giving us the grace and the strength and the courage to give up our errors and our sins and our weaknesses and defects in character, to let them go so that we can be that much more refined and sanctified and in harmony with the working of our Savior upon us. Father, we thank you that your truth is indeed spreading around the world and filling this dark, apostate earth with your glory, with the knowledge of salvation as the waters cover the sea. And thank you for awaking us out of darkness and bringing us into the light. And please multiply our efforts at revealing the truth to others in our life and through our words, that our Savior is coming soon and people need to get ready. Dear Father, we also pray that you'll be with the prayer requests and petitions that have been brought forth and asked in the past and at the present. We ask that you'll be with dear Margaret, that you will open her heart and allow her to accept Jesus Christ as her personal Savior and friend. Please remove the barriers that she has had in resisting Jesus and allow her heart to melt and to fall in love with Him, her Savior. And thank you so much for doing so. We also pray that you'll be with all of our brothers and sisters and the followers of Christ that are in harm's way with the winter storm and blizzard that is affecting a great portion of the eastern and southern part of America. Pray that you will keep the people from harm, keep them resting in your love, protect all of their possessions, and especially their themselves, their bodies. And thank you so much for already putting your divine hedge of protection around them and keeping them safe. We also pray, dear Father, that you'll be with George and his family in the serious health problem that he has, that you will increase his faith in you. And Father, if it is your will, please heal him according to thy wisdom and mercy. And if not, please help him to cling to his Savior in faith, in love, and in trust. And please comfort him and his family in this time. And thank you so much for doing so. We also pray that you'll be with Jake and continue to work upon his heart. Remove the barriers and resistance that he has had to the gospel. And allow Jesus to be accepted into his life as a precious friend. And thank you so much for doing so. Please continue to heal Sister Cecilia's eye and let it come back to perfect function. And thank you so much for taking her case in thy hands. Please also be with our dear Sister Keisha's grandmother. And please help the lessons of truth that have been shared with her to find good soil. Thank you for hearing and answering this prayer and for being here in our midst. In Jesus' precious name, amen. So welcome, dear ones. And this is part three to God's Holy Sabbath Day. And what a week a difference makes. Last Sabbath, we had a thunderstorm that unexpectedly came through and took out our power. And we weren't able to present this part three last Sabbath, but part one was re-presented. And thank you, Sister Rose, for doing so. But this particular Sabbath, it's only partly cloudy, although thunderstorms are predicted later. But praise God, we're able to use the Internet and to join together in digging into His Word of Inspiration today. So this is part three of God's Holy Sabbath Day. And for those that would like to follow along, you can find the notes that I'll be referring to at lightministries.com/capital SDA/ID1475.htm. So you can find the quotes there. But as we have already discovered, that after sin entered into the world, those who rebelled and disobeyed God chose to worship their pagan gods on different days of the week, and especially on Sunday, while those who remained loyal and obedient to God kept His holy Sabbath day. So then this showed us that the day of worship became a sign or a mark between the followers of God and the followers of other gods at that time. And this continues to be true in these last days. And if you look at quote number one, God tells us in Ezekiel 20, verses 12 and 20, "Moreover, also I gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am the Lord that sanctify them, and hallow my Sabbaths, and they shall be a sign between me and you, that ye may know that I am the Lord your God." But not everybody understands this plain truth. Many have various major reasons why they believe that the seventh-day Sabbath is no longer of the same importance as it was before Christ was born, died, resurrected, and ascended to heaven. They believe that the new covenant has changed the keeping of God's Sabbath. And last time in part two, we examined another one of these major reasons that people have against keeping God's Sabbath day holy. And that reason was the claim that no one really knows when the original seventh day of the week falls on today. And thus, if true, then this would mean that each person would be free to decide for themselves which day of the week they desire to keep sacred to God as his Sabbath. And Sunday would be as good as any other day. But we then discovered that there has been no time lost since creation took place all the way up to the present time. And so the same seven-day weekly cycle that established at creation is the very same seven-day weekly cycle that we continue to observe today, even though the names of the days of the week have been changed depending on the calendar that's being used. We also learned in part two that when the calendar was changed from the Julian to the Gregorian back in the 16th century, that there needed to be 10 days added in order to make it correspond to the correct solar time of year. So Thursday, October 4, 1582, in the Julian calendar, was immediately followed by Friday, October 15, 1582, in the Gregorian. So this meant that the same weekly cycle from Sunday to Saturday was not altered, even though 10 days had been added to the calendar. Then we understood that by closely examining the events surrounding the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus, that we could plainly see exactly which day of the week today God's seventh-day Sabbath falls on. We saw that the scriptures record that Jesus was resurrected on the first day of the week anciently, which would correspond to the day of the week we call Sunday today, or the day after the Sabbath had passed. So then this meant that the day we call Saturday in our modern calendar would correspond to the seventh day of the week anciently, or the day that Christ rested in the tomb. And the day we call Friday in our modern calendar would correspond to the sixth day of the week anciently, or the preparation day, the day before the Sabbath occurred. So then the seventh-day Sabbath of God today is Saturday, the day after Friday, and the day before Sunday. So then this plainly showed us that the seventh day of God has not changed its seventh place in the weekly cycle since it was made holy at creation, and it never will. So that's what we learned last time. But what about the other major reasons that people believe that the seventh-day Sabbath is no longer of the same importance as it was before Christ was born, died, resurrected, and ascended to heaven? And this is what we're going to be investigating into today. If you look at quote number two, another major reason that people use against keeping God's seventh-day Sabbath holy is the claim that the Sabbath was a shadow and part of the Old Covenant Jewish ceremonial laws. They claim that it was then nailed to the cross when Christ died, and then Sunday took the place of the original Sabbath in this new covenant period. But is this true? Now, the seventh-day Sabbath was given to God's people at creation. So then this means that the Sabbath was in existence before sin entered the world, and thus before the sacrificial and ceremonial laws were instituted among the Israelites. So then the weekly Sabbath of God could not be part of the ceremonial laws, since it existed before they were given, some 2,000 years. And so the Sabbath could not have been nailed to the cross along with these temporary ceremonial laws. But since many have trouble differentiating between the ceremonial laws written by Moses and the moral law of Ten Commandments spoken and written by God, then let us examine the clear differences between these two. Now, the ceremonial law is termed the law of a carnal commandment in Hebrews 7:16. But the moral law of God, it is affirmed, we know that the law is spiritual in Romans 7:14. The ceremonial is a law of which there was made of necessity a change, as we're told in Hebrews 7:12. But the moral is that law of which Christ says, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled, which is Matthew 5:18. The ceremonial law was a shadow of good things to come, Hebrews 10:1, and was only imposed until the time of Reformation, which is Hebrews 9:10. But the other was a moral code, of which it is said by John, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law, which is 1 John 3:4. The ceremonial is a yoke that was not able to be borne, which we're told in Acts 15:10, while the moral is the law of liberty, by which we shall be judged, which we're told in James 2, verses 8 to 12. So I hope you can see the differences between these two. But continuing. The ceremonial is that law which Christ abolished in his flesh, Ephesians 2:15. But the moral is that law which he did not come to destroy, Matthew 5:17. The ceremonial is termed the handwriting of ordinances, which was contrary to us and was nailed to the cross and taken out of the way by the death of Christ, which is Colossians 2:14. But the moral is that law which Christ came to magnify and make honorable, which is Isaiah 42:21. And which James affirms is the royal law, which it is a sin to transgress, which is James 2:8 to 12. The ceremonial was a temporary law which was disannulled for the weakness and unprofitableness thereof, Hebrews 7:18. While the moral is an eternal, unchanging law which cannot be made void, because we're told in Romans 3:31, do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law, which is Romans 3:31. The ceremonial law is that law which was the middle wall of partition between Jews and Gentiles, as we're told in Hebrews 2:14. Ephesians 2:14. While the other is that law, the work of which even the Gentiles are said to have written in their hearts, which is Romans 2:14-15. The ceremonial is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, Ephesians 2:15. While the moral law is the commandments of God, which it is the duty of all mankind to keep, which is Ecclesiastes 12:13. And it is this great moral law of Ten Commandments that is brought to view by the message of the third angel found in Revelation 14:9-12, the very last message of mercy to come to the inhabitants of the earth. Are they going to worship the beast? Or are they going to follow the Lamb and keep His commandments? And these commandments, this law, is what the remnant of the seed of the woman are keeping in the last days when the dragon makes war upon them, which is Revelation 12:17. So this moral law will ensure to all those who keep it the right to enter into heaven and to eat of the tree of life. We're told in Revelation 22:14, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. So then there are clear differences between the ceremonial law and God's moral law of Ten Commandments. The moral law was magnified, made honorable, established, is holy, just, spiritual, good, and royal, while the ceremonial law was carnal, shadowy, burdensome, was abolished, broken down, taken out of the way, nailed to the cross, changed, and disannulled on account of the weakness and unprofitableness thereof. It served its purpose and then was taken out of the way at the death of Christ. But nothing had changed with God's moral law, including the Sabbath. Law are variously found interspersed throughout the books of Moses and mingled with the precepts of the ceremonial law. But this fact can in no way cause the Ten Commandments to be included as part of this ceremonial law and also done away with. The moral law is as eternal as God is, while the ceremonial law was only in force until Christ died on the cross. And those who rightly divide the word of truth will never confound these essentially different laws, nor will they apply to God's royal law the language that's employed regarding the handwriting of ordinances. Now, if you look at quote number 3, the Ten Commandments are a perfect code in and of themselves, and this is proven by the following facts. God spoke the Ten Commandments with his own voice, and it is said he added no more in Deuteronomy 5:22. And this showed that he had given a complete law. Another point is that God only wrote Ten Commandments upon two tables of stone with his own finger. And this shows us that it was a complete moral code. And you can find this in Deuteronomy 9, verses 9 to 11. Another point is that he caused these Ten Commandments alone to be placed under the mercy seat in the second apartment of the sanctuary. You can find this in Exodus 30, verse 6, and Hebrews 9, verses 4 to 5. And this proves to us that this was the law that made an atonement necessary because it had been broken. And another point is that God expressly calls what he wrote on the tables of stone to be a law and commandments, which is Exodus 24, verse 12. Now, both the ceremonial as well as the moral law had Sabbaths, but there were clear differences between them. And I think it's this area that leads many people to believe that the Sabbath of the fourth commandment was just as a ceremonial Sabbath, and thus had been done away with the ceremonial laws. But there's clear differences between these Sabbaths. The seventh-day Sabbath originated in Eden before sin as part of God's immutable law, and it always occurred on the seventh day of the week, which we call Saturday today. But the feast day Sabbath originated after sin as part of the ceremonial law, and these feast day Sabbaths could take place on any day of the week. Another difference is that the seventh day Sabbath was written on stone with God's own finger, but the feast day Sabbaths were written on cloth or paper or skin by the finger of Moses. Another difference is that the seventh-day Sabbath, along with the other nine commandments, were placed in the ark directly underneath the mercy seat with God's glory and presence above them. And this signifies that they were to be enforced permanently and were unchanging, just as God is eternal and unchanging. But the feast-day Sabbaths were placed in the side of the ark, which we're told in Deuteronomy 31, verse 26. And this fact signified that they were only to be temporarily enforced until their purpose was accomplished. Another difference between the seventh-day Sabbath and the Sabbath of the feast days in the ceremonial law was that on the seventh-day Sabbath, no cooking was to be done, but all food was to be prepared and cooked on the sixth day, or the preparation day before the Sabbath came. You can find this in Exodus 16, verse 23. But on the feast day Sabbath, you could prepare and cook your food. You can find this in Exodus 12, verses 14 to 16. Another difference is that on the seventh-day Sabbath, no work could be done. Not even sticks were to be gathered for the preparation of food. You can find this in Numbers 15, verses 32 to 6. But on the feast-day Sabbath, work could be done in gathering various tree branches in order to build booths for shelters during the Feast of Tabernacles. You can find this in Leviticus 23. Verses 34 to 40. So this shows us that there is a clear and distinct difference between God's unchanging fourth commandment of the moral law to keep holy the seventh-day Sabbath versus the temporary types and shadowy feast-day Sabbaths of the ceremonial law. The seventh-day Sabbath was made for man before he had fallen into sin, and hence it could not be a type or a shadow pointing forward to Christ's death, and so could not have been nailed to the cross when he died. But it continues pointing backward to the beginning of this earth's history and to the Creator of us all. But the feast day Sabbath, as well as the other types of the Jewish economy, came into existence after man had fallen into sin and needed a Savior. Thus they were a shadow pointing forward to redemption and were indeed nailed to the cross. You can find this in Colossians 2:14. And Paul even states that God's people are to continue keeping the Sabbath of the moral law after Christ's death, in Hebrews 4, verses 4 to 11. But nowhere does Paul state that we need to keep the Sabbath of the ceremonial law. So it should be made plain to all who wish to see that the doing away of the handwriting of ordinances of the ceremonial law still leaves in full force every precept of the moral law. And also that the law of shadows pointing forward to the death of Christ ended when he died. It was the breaking of the Ten Commandments which caused the Savior to lay down his life to save you and me from sin. And thus the continued and unchanging sacredness of God's law, his commandments, including the fourth commandment, may be judged by this fact that God gave his only Son to take the curse of sin upon himself and to die for our breaking of this law. You look at quote number four. But where did this teaching and particular belief come from that the seventh-day Sabbath or Saturday was a shadow and part of the Jewish ceremonial laws and thus was nailed to the cross and done away with at Christ's death? Where did it come from? Who originated it? Is it a modern belief? It's definitely not modern. But this particular teaching goes back more than 1,800 years. In 198 AD, or about that time, Tertullian states this in his writings. It follows accordingly that insofar as the abolition of carnal circumcision and of the old law is demonstrated as having been consummated at its specific times, so also the observance of the Sabbath is demonstrated to have been temporary. And this was an answer to the Jews by Tertullian, chapter 4, of the observance of the Sabbath from the early church fathers, Ante-Nicene Fathers, Volume 3, and you can find it there at the link provided. But Tertullian wasn't the only one. Origen, about the year 226, makes this statement in his writings. Thus was he, or John the Baptist, born to make ready for the Lord a people fit for him at the end of the old covenant, now grown old, which is the end of the Sabbatic period. Hence it is not possible that the rest, after the Sabbath was now ended, should have come into existence from the seventh of our God. So Origen writes that the Sabbath was done away with at the end of the Old Covenant. Jerome was the next in 393 AD, and he writes, "For they, who were still weak in faith and thought some meats clean, some unclean, and supposed there was a difference between one day and another, for example, that the Sabbath and the new moons and the Feast of Tabernacles were holier than other days, were commanded to eat herbs which are indifferently partaken of by all. But such as were of stronger faith believed all meats and all days to be alike." In 403 AD, St. John Chrysostom makes this statement. And no, it's not the same Jerome as Jerome and Hus, because Jerome and Hus were in the 1400s, but this is St. Jerome that's in 393 AD who made this statement. But St. John Chrysostom, in about 403 AD, makes this statement. "Was the law then of no use? It was indeed of use, and of great use, but to make men perfect it was of no use. For in this respect, he says, the law made nothing perfect, All were figures, all shadows, circumcision, sacrifice, Sabbath. Therefore they could not reach through the soul, wherefore they pass away and gradually withdraw. Augustine, Aurelius Augustine, which was the bishop of Hippo, makes this statement about 415 AD. The sacramental ordinances, which were the shadow of things to come, such as circumcision, the Sabbath, and other observances of days, and the ceremonies of certain meats, and the complicated ritual of sacrifices and sacred things which suited the oldness of the carnal law and its slavish yoke. So Augustine includes the Sabbath as part of the Old Testament covenant. In the year 603 AD, Pope St. Gregory I makes this statement. But after that the grace of Almighty God, our Lord Jesus Christ, has appeared, the commandments of the law, which were spoken figuratively, cannot be kept according to the letter. For, if anyone says that this about the Sabbath is to be kept, he must needs say that carnal sacrifices are to be offered. In the Council of Trent in 1566 occurs this writing. With regard to the exposition of this commandment, referring to the Sabbath commandment, the faithful are to be carefully taught in what it accords with and in what it differs from the others, in order that they may understand why Christians observe not the Sabbath, but the Lord's Day, or Sunday according to them. The point of difference is evident. The other commandments of the Decalogue are precepts of the natural law, obligatory at all times and unalterable, and hence, after the abrogation of the law of Moses, all the commandments contained in the two tables are observed by Christians, not, however, because their observance is commanded by Moses, but because they are in accord with the law of nature and are enforced by its dictate. Whereas this commandment, or the Sabbath, if considered as to the time of its fulfillment, is not fixed and unalterable, but is susceptible of change and belongs not to the moral but to the ceremonial law. The abrogation was to cease with the abrogation of Jewish worship, of which it formed a part, and it therefore was no longer obligatory after the death of Christ. These ceremonies were to disappear at the coming of that light and truth, which is Jesus, or Christ Jesus. And then, the Catholic Church of those who lived according to the old order of things have come to a new hope, no longer keeping the Sabbath, but the Lord's Day. Or Sunday. And this was taken from the Universal Catholic Catechism, Article 3, the Third Commandment, Number 2, the Lord's Day, which is paragraph number 2175. So I hope that you can clearly see that this particular teaching of the seventh-day Sabbath being a shadow and connected with the Jewish ceremonial laws of the Old Covenant and therefore ceased to be kept after Christ had died is not a modern belief at all, but it has been around since the 2nd century A.D. And I hope that you can also plainly see that this belief is not found written in the Bible at all, but was first found originating in the writings of Catholic Church fathers. So then this means that this belief is not a doctrine of God that's found established in the scriptures, but this doctrine is purely of Catholic origin and is taught in the Roman Catholic Church. So then this means for any Protestant or non-Catholic believer to use this argument that the seventh-day Sabbath of the Lord was a shadow and part of the ceremonial laws of the Israelites and done away with at the time of Christ's death. And, of course, in their efforts to try and prove that Sunday is God's Sabbath day today. These individuals are forced to rely upon the teachings of Catholicism and not upon the truth of God's holy scriptures in order to back up this argument. So, dear ones, are you going to cling to custom and tradition, or are you going to cling to God's inspired word? If you cling to God's inspired word, then you will recognize that the fourth commandment, to keep holy the Sabbath day on Saturday, the seventh day of the week, is unchanging. It hasn't been done away with. It hasn't been nailed to the cross. It hasn't been replaced by any other day of the week. And you will, out of love for what God has done for you, choose to keep this commandment and keep Saturday holy as God's Sabbath day. But if you cling to custom and tradition, if you cling to Catholic doctrine, then you will believe that Sunday has replaced the seventh-day Sabbath of the Bible. So choose you this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord God of heaven. Now, next time, we'll examine more of these major reasons that people use against keeping God's Sabbath day holy. And then we'll see if God's inspired word supports these beliefs or if it does not. And so we hope to see you next Sabbath. Our closing song is entitled Trust and Obey. And you can find this on our website at lightministries.com/ID160.htm. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but His smile quickly drives it away. Not a doubt or a fear, not a sigh or a tear, can abide while we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil he doth richly repay. Not a grief or a loss, not a frown or a cross, but is blessed if we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. But we never can prove the delights of his love until all on the altar we lay. For the favor he shows, for the joy he bestows, are for them who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at his feet, or we'll walk by his side in the way. What he says we will do, where he sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Amen, dear ones. Trust and obey even if you don't understand the reason why. But you trust that God loves you, would never leave you or lead you into a wrong, unprofitable path, and thus you obey him. And that sometimes is a very hard lesson to learn, because we want to see the path before we walk on it. And it takes true faith and trust to take a step in a path that you cannot see. But God leads the way, and in following him, then we will indeed be led directly upward to the river of life. If ye love Jesus, keep his commandments, and you will have the right to the tree of life and be able to enter into the city of God. Shall we pray? Our dear precious Father in heaven, we thank you so very much for giving us your word, written down, easy to understand. Thank you so much for your merciful kindness, and also for the availability of your holy scriptures. And thank you that we can come to thee at any time, day or night, asking you for help, asking you to open our understanding and you will indeed freely pour upon us your Spirit, that we might be able to rightly divide thy word of truth and be able to see a thus saith the Lord in comparison to a thus saith man or a thus saith the church. Thank you so much for giving us this discernment between truth and error, between the precious wheat and the chaff, between Christ and Lucifer. And please grant us the grace and the strength to stand for our Savior and His truth regardless of the cost. And indeed, to keep His commandments and not the commandments of men that conflict with this law of love. Father, please forgive us for our ignorance. Forgive us for breaking your law, for worshiping upon a different day. Please forgive us. Cleanse us from breaking your law and committing sin. And please justify us and sanctify us through the precious blood merits and righteousness of our Savior. And then help us to follow our Savior and to keep His Sabbath that He is the Lord of, which is the seventh day of the week, or Saturday. And help us to keep it correctly, because it's our desire to worship You and to obey You, because You are our God. You're our Father. You're our compassionate God. And we love You. And we want to make You happy and bring a smile to Your face. So help us in this. And please continue, Savior, to refine us and to purify us and to sanctify us from all dross, from all the worthless material that's covering up the precious, valuable gold that You desire to polish, that we may reflect Your image to others. Thank You so much for making possible our salvation. And thank You so much for allowing us to be alive for just such a time as this, to witness for Thee in the last closing days of this world's history. Thank You, Father, that we're a day closer to heaven and a day closer to getting off of this wicked world. And we're a day closer to reflecting the image of our Savior more fully. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
Sabbath blessing, dear family. I would like to just give a good news to everyone and thank everyone in the name of Jesus Christ. My father went to the hospital and they have checked and he's cancer free. So I want to thank each and every one that participated in praying for my father. So also, I will say continue praying, because there is another major hero, and that is the operation that he has to have in his brain. So besides that, he has a little like Parkinson. But by God's grace, the Lord has given him strength, that as he studied the Bible and do the little studies, it also gives us a little bit to see how his brain is functioning. So far, dear family, I want to humbly thank each and everyone that participated in the praying of my father. And also we have other brethren among us that are also fighting with the same illness. So please, pray for all our dear brothers and sisters that are also in their battles. And just remember that in God all things are possible. And there is a little reading, I didn't know until when the Lord led me to it, that it talks about Sister White also having cancer in her eye. And it was remarkable to see what the Lord had done. So you can be able to read it and be encouraged as well. I want to sing a song, especially for these dear brethren that I have in my heart that are battling with the disease. Is I Need the Prayers. And the hymn book is number 505. The Lord had given him so much strength that the next day he was cooking. And I was so glad to hear him so upbeat. So, thank you, dear ones. I need the prayers of those I love. While traveling all life's rugged way, that I may true and faithful be, and live for Jesus every day. I want my friends to pray for me, to bear my tempted soul above, and intercede with God for me. I need the prayers of those I love. I need the prayers of those I love to help me in his trying to bear my tempted soul to him, that he may keep me by his power. I want my friends to pray for me, to bear my tempted soul above, and intercede with God for me. I need the prayers of those I love. I want my friends to pray for me, to hold me up on wings of faith, that I may walk the narrow way, kept our Father's glorious grace. I want my friends to pray for me, to bear my tempted soul above, and intercede with God for me. I need the prayers of those I love.
Hi, everybody.
Pastor Savvy. There's a verse. It goes, I'm a little bit worse, sorry.
But he knows the way that I take, when he had tried me, I shall come for this goal. Thy word I kept, his steps, his way have I kept, his way have I kept, and not declined. Job 23:10-11. His way have I kept and not declined.
And there's another Bible verse that has to do with the reading, and it goes,
submit yourself therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse yourself easy now. And purify your heart, ye double-minded. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you.
Sorry.
Hi, everyone. Happy Sabbath. Also to the home church down in Rancho Tejama. Happy Sabbath to you guys too down there.
Yeah, bless us, Sabbath.
The song that I would like to sing for you, Jonathan and Israel know this song as well. I've heard them sing it before, and I think I've sang it on the chat room before, but just to refresh your guys' minds and memory, I'll sing it again. It's called Jewels. Or bright gems for his crown. And it starts out like this. When he cometh to make up his jewels, all his jewels, precious jewels, his love and his all. Like the stars of the morning, his bright crown adorning, they shall shine in their beauty, bright gems for his crown. He will gather the gems for his kingdom. All the pure ones, all the bright ones, his love and his all. Like the stars of the morning, his bright crown adorning, they shall shine in their beauty, bright gems for his crown. Little children, who love their Redeemer, are the jewels, precious jewels, his love and his all. Like the stars of the morning, his bright crown adorning, they shall shine in their beauty, bright gems for his crown.
I have a request from my dear sister to sing Just As I Am, and in the hymn book is 313. Just as I am, without one plea, for that thy blood was shed for me, and thou thy peace me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, and wait him not to rid my soul of one doubt, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, but for us about, with many a conflict, many a doubt, fighting with fear
just as I am, poor wretched blind, so I reach his healing of the mind. Yeah, all I need in thee I find, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, thou will receive with welcome, pardon, cleanse, relief, because thy promise I believe. O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, thy love I own, has broken every barrier down. Now to be thine, and thine alone, O Lamb of God, I come. I come, I come.
There's another song that came up to my mind. Has crowned him with many crowns. Crown him with many crowns, the Lamb upon his throne. Hark how the heavenly anthem drowns all music but its own. Awake my soul and sing of him who died for thee. And hail him as thy matchless king through all eternity. Crown him the Lord of love. Behold his hands and side. Rich wounds yet visible above in beauty glorified. No angel in the sky can fully bear that sigh. A downward bends his wandering eye at mystery so bright. Crown him the Lord of life, who triumphed o'er the grave. Who goes victorious in the strife for those he came to save. His glories now we see, who died and rose on high, who died eternal life to bring, and lives that death may die. Crown him the Lord of heaven, one with the Father known, one with the Spirit through him given from yonder glorious throne. To thee be endless praise, for thou for us hast died. Be thou, O Lord, through endless days, adorned and magnified. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I like to share a scripture song. In the verse from Joshua 24:15, he reminds you of a song I was listening to last night. It's called the family prayer song, and I like to sing it. Come and fill our homes with your presence. You alone are worthy of our reverence. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. Lord, we bow to Him holy, bowing our knees to You only. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. Staying together, praying together, any storm we can weather, trusting in God's word. We need each other, fathers and mothers, sisters and brothers, in harmony and love. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord.
There's two other songs that we'd like to sing for you. And one of them is Abide With Me. And the other is 'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus.
Abide with me, as far as the eventide. The darkness deepens, Lord, with me abide. When other helpers fail and comforts me, help of the helpless, oh, abide with me. Swift to its close ebbs out life's little day. Earth's joys grow dim, its glories pass away. Change and decay and all around I see. O thou who changest not,
abide with me. I need thy presence every passing hour. What but thy grace can for the tempter's power, who like thyself my guidance they can be. Through cloud and sunshine, oh, abide with me.
Hold
thou thy cross before my closing eyes. Shine through the gloom and point me to the skies. Heaven's morning breaks and earthbound shadows flee. In life and death, O Lord, abide with me.
Amen.
Amen. And the last song for today is 'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus. This song starts out here. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know the saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I prove him all and all. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust his cleansing blood, just in simple faith to plunge me neath the healing, cleansing flood. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Yes, 'tis sweet to trust in Jesus, just from sin and self to cease, just from Jesus simply taking life and rest and joy and peace. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. I'm so glad I learned to trust him, precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that he is with me
will be with me till the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I prove him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more.
I have another request from another sister. Is in the garden and in the hymn book is 487.
I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses. And a voice I hear falling on my ears, the Son of God discloses. And he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, no other has ever known. He speaks and the sound of his voice is so sweet, the bird hush dear sing, and the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing. He walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, no other has ever known. He stays in the garden with him, though the night around me be falling, but he bids me go to the voice of one. His voice to me is calling. And he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, no other has ever known.
Hi, I just want to say something. Well, in the first, the adult study, when we're talking about how the nature that Christ has created, and how it helps with the gospel, my husband and I were watching nature, you know, a nature program. And as they were talking, you know, it just reminds me, I was telling him, because as they're trying to explain all the things in nature, and they say some animals are from prehistoric times, or how the earth is millions and millions and millions of years old, and well, we know, you know, as creationists that it's not, you know. But I was telling him, I was like, you know, isn't it something how, you know, even while watching the nature program, and the person that's explaining it is like, he's like a fiction narrator, you know, narrating what is actually a non-fiction creation of God, you know, fiction being untrue, not fiction being true. So, and I'm like, they try any way, shape, or possible to remove everything that the Lord has done. And that's what the devil does. He tries to rob God of everything and takes the glory to himself. You know, trying to bind the hearts of man to himself rather than to God. because he hates it. He hates if anyone even say anything nice or kind towards him. But everything that the Lord creates, you can't just look at the at the mountain ranges, or look at the prairie, or the beautiful animals in the ocean, and not see the beautiful work of the hands of God. In all he does, everything he creates glorifies him. You know? So praise God.
Amen indeed. Praise God for his wonderful works to the children of men. Well, dear ones, it's been a very joyous fellowship with you all. I pray that God will lead and guide you and continue to bring you ever closer to him and higher up that straight and narrow path. And we look forward to fellowshipping with you again next time. And please remember there's a women's meeting Monday night at 5:30 p.m. on the Pacific Coast. It'll be 8:30 p.m. on the East Coast. And then on Wednesday evenings and Friday evenings at 6 p.m. Pacific and 9 p.m. Eastern, and then Sabbath morning at 9:30 Pacific and 12:30 Eastern. So we look forward to fellowshipping with you again, and I'd like to leave you with this song. And for those that would like to take a verse of this hymn, please go right ahead. I'll start it out. You will see your Lord a-coming. You will see your Lord a-coming. You will see your Lord a-coming in a few more days. You will hear Christ's silver trumpet. You will hear Christ's silver trumpet. You will hear Christ's silver trumpet in a few more days. Hear the band of music. Hear the band of music. Hear the band of music which is sounding through the air. You will see the saints arising. You will see the saints arising. You will see the saints arising in a few more days. Then we'll travel to the city. We will travel to the city. We will travel to the city in a few more days. Hear the band of music, hear the band of music, hear the band of music which is sounding through the air.
Then we'll shout our sufferings over, we will shout our sufferings over, we will shout our sufferings over in a few more days. Then we'll spend eternity, we will spend eternity, we will spend eternity with our Lord Jesus Christ. Hear the band of music, hear the band of music, hear the band of music which is sounding through the air.
You will see your Lord a-coming. You will hear Christ's silver trumpet. You will see the saints arising in a few more days. Then we'll travel to the city, then we'll shout our sufferings over, then we'll spend eternity with our Lord Jesus Christ. Hear the band of music, hear the band of music, hear hear the band of music which is sounding through the air. So, dear ones, in just a few more days, all of this will be over, and we'll be on our way to the kingdom of God forevermore. So keep looking up. Remain faithful. Continue to trust and obey. And may God bless.
Hear my prayers, O Lord. From the end of the earth I cry. Your peace will lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Hear my prayer, Lord. From the end of the earth I cry. Your peace will lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been my strength in times of trouble, a tower above my enemies. And Lord, I will abide with you forever in the shadow of your wings. Hear my prayer, Lord. From the end of the earth I cry. Your peace will lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been my strength in times of trouble, a tower above my enemies. And Lord, I will abide with you forever in the shelter of your wings. Hear my prayer. From the end of the earth I cry. Your peace will lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Amen.